Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh,
good morning, members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA Show. You're on 3CR Radical Radio and you're with the MUA executive. How are you, comrades?
All well. Wouldn't be anywhere else at 6:30 on a Thursday morning. I know that. Fantastic. It's always a good show when we do it live from the studio, I think.
It is always good to be in the studio. It gives it a different feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Good to get out of the office and see Annie's smiling face. Morning, Annie.
And, of course, we've got Jace with us.
Morning, listeners, and, thanks, Tafe.
And, a lot been happening during the last fortnight, of course, and one of the headlines that we're not happy about is the latest political stunt by the Victorian State Government around the CFMEU, and it's just absolutely incredible what lengths they'll go to try and gain a few votes.
Yeah, we we mentioned this at the monthly meeting on Tuesday, and we were really disgusted about political point scoring here, and that's all it is. It is a stunt. You said that, Dave, at the start. It was a stunt. Okay, so Ben gets in, he replaces Jacinda, he then goes and announces the Royal Commission, and then this happens. This is not an accident that five people were targeted, arrested, for no reason. No reason whatsoever. One person was in their car heading to the office. Mm. And they rang up and he said, "Well, where are you?" He said, "I'm on the way to the office." He said, no, turn around, you've got to go back home, you're getting arrested.
Yeah.
And all they could find was some ammunition that wasn't locked up at someone's property and Valium or some that was on the bedside table.
Yeah.
That's it. And they had the ability as the administrator to ask for anything they wanted. The administrator's in charge of everything. So they can ask, when you look at your laptop or your phone or whatever it might be. It was a political stunt to get on the front page of the paper. And I'm happy to say that it has to have the new Premier's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
And I'm really horrified at that. We get that they're, we're in a fight for their political life, right? But you don't do that. That's just shitful. That is shitful on their behalf to go and politicise and get some point scoring out of that and, arrest five people for no reason. They had no reason whatsoever.
And, of course, it's been led from the federal Labor Party by, introducing these laws that has allowed the CFMEU to be put into administration. It's got both Labor parties have got a lot to answer for. They're meant to be representing the workers and they're just not doing that at the moment.
No, it's like, union's a dirty word, but you got all the casinos, you see what they're doing, the laundering of money, supporting slavery, all that sort of stuff. And you see the banks, the banks crying that we make $10 billion,
yeah.
But however, there's a bit of a downturn in the uptake of our housing loans at the moment. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
And all the things they've done over the years. And then you go and see Coles were robbing everyone. And they'll prove to be robbing everyone. And they go and announce a $1 billion profit. Yet the poor old union, which is just there to support people and give working people a dignified life, make their job, because all the work, the general part of the working class working really in our areas, and the construction and all the BIG unions work in really high risk industries.
Yep.
That are the only reason now that people can feel safe, people have got kids who work in them, is because of the unions.
Yeah,
the right. unions making those jobs safe, and make and giving them conditions to work with, to work under, and earn a dignified living, so they can be part of society. And it's just horrible what is going on. And the thing with the administration from the federals, from the feds, was that this has now gone on. This is going on now. What is it now, 2 to 3 years or something? And they're not saying, well, the pathway out is this. It's just a constant, we got you in limbo and we're going to keep you there no matter what. You know, when they went and sacked, so we dealt with a lot, Nigel David, just horrible. A good, straight fella you wouldn't meet. Like, you know, and so they're not providing a pathway out, and that's the problem I have with it all. That there's no, okay, we get to this, and there's a pathway out. They're just keeping them there. So we're going a bit all over the shop, but it's the political point scoring is shitful. It's just not on, and that's not what we expect, and it's, I was horrified by what happened during the week.
Yeah. Call out to all construction workers. We have your backs. A bit solidarity out to all CFMEU members and to all the CFMEU comrades that are still working there. We were meant to have a protest this morning, but it's been called off down at Quantum Coode Island. The members there were meant to walk off for a 24-hour strike, but there's been change in strategy.
Is that what you call it, Dave? when the boss threatens to lock you out, we call it. And an offer was put forward, and they're looking at that offer. But we sent a message out to the members late yesterday afternoon that it won't be going ahead today. That we were going to get in and support it. Trades Hall was supporting it. Trades Hall put out a thing as well. But stay tuned because this isn't over yet. So we'll see how it transpires over the next few days. But Tuesday's another day in the week, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Tuesday is another day in the week, yes. And we're also celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Gurindjeri Wave Hill walk-off, which was a historical moment for Vincent Lingari. And the famous photo of Gough Whitlam dropping the soil into Vincent's hand. And it was an amazing, courageous thing for Vincent to lead those people off those stations. And our hand goes out to him. We've got a little bit of an excerpt from Thomas Mayo talking about it.
We're coming up to the 23rd of August, and that is the anniversary of the Gurindji Wavefield walk-off, 60 years since the MUA was in solidarity with Aboriginal stock workers, domestics and their families, and they walked off on strike for equal wages and for land rights. The MUA continues our solidarity, waterside workers and seafarers and port workers and divers. We celebrate this anniversary with you, Gurindji Mob, and all Australians that believe in fairness, that genuinely believe in a fair go, and for justice and recognition for First Nations people. Enjoy this video. It shows some of the proud moments and our continuing solidarity.
Gurindji were working for nothing but rations, but once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily the pressure got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand. They picked up their swags and started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town. From little things, big things grow.
I hope you enjoyed that little excerpt from Thomas Mayo, and our solidarity to the Gurindji people who are celebrating 60 years anniversary from the Gurindji Wave Hill walk-off.
23rd of August. And you can imagine 60 years ago, like you can imagine it now, 60 years ago, you talked about the bravery of the Vincent Lingari and all that. You imagine it back then. Can you just try and picture it?
Absolutely.
It's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, their lives would have been at stake. Yeah, for sure.
That was in the days where, you go back further, where if you went missing off a station or something happened, they just hunt you down, and that was horrible. We know the outcome.
Absolutely
awful.
Yeah, so solidarity to First Nations people in their struggle for justice and recognition under the Australian Constitution, and the MUA continues to support them.
Yeah, we do, and we always have, as we've supported, you know, we're supporting the Palestinian thing at the moment, and we've supported all things over the years. And people say, well, that's not your role, but it is our role. We are the moral police, I think, of the union movement sometimes, and that's why when things happen like they did at the ALP conference, for instance, it's the MUA that they come to second things and to support things. That's been dealt with, though, that what happened there. I was at that caucus on the going back on the Saturday morning when there was a motion put forward, and it was we seconded it, and it was decided
the
music
motion.
Yeah, and we've copped some flak for it, and probably rightly so. And it's created a fair bit of internal robust debate, I can assure you. But I was there, and it made it difficult because at the time, both Bassem Abdu, who's a Palestinian MP, and Josh Burns, who's of Jewish heritage, both spoke together about the ALP platform being way better than what it was 4 years ago, and them being happy with the policy. And I wasn't. Look, it made it difficult for us to come across the top of that, I think, but yeah, you know, if we had our time over again, we might do things a little bit differently, perhaps. But it was challenging.
Not too much debate on the floor at that conference, I believe, Robbie.
No. Gee whiz. Yes, democracy is alive and well, Dave, as long as it's guided. So that's where that is. And our hats do go off to the Indigenous and the 60-year anniversary of the Gurindji Wave Hill walk-off. Quite amazing.
All right, we're going to go to a song. It's a request from Wharfie down in Western Port, Jai Jarman. This is for you, mate. Give It To Me by the J. Giles Band.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Fire Up MUA program.
Joy Jarman likes his synthesizers, doesn't he?
Nah, great song by the J Miles Band. Nah, you're with the Fire Up MUA program, 3CR Radical Radio, and we're going to do a few industrial reports now. I think, Jason, you're negotiating the Bhagwan agreement, your old workplace, mate?
That's correct. Aaron and I are trying to sort Bhagwan out. We met with a company yesterday, and a big part of this agreement, it's been a bit of a slow grind, but we're trying to get our Victorian waters back, which was originally covered under a Queensland enterprise agreement. So a big part of this agreement is that we want our Victorian waters back, and we want it back into a Victorian agreement. So at this early stages, we've agreed to that in principle. There's going to be different zoning structure for Bhagwan moving forward. But yeah, it's looking good. And then a part of that deal was the workers there want an RDO structure in line with the construction industry. So they're currently based on a 38-hour week. We want to get back to a 36-hour week with an RDO roster. So we took that to the company yesterday. There's a bit of fine-tuning with that, but I think over the next couple of weeks we should finally get pen on paper and getting a good agreement for our members there. And a big part of that deal was too that the Queensland rates were like 30 or 40% lower than what we had here in Victoria. So, you know, there's going to be significant uplifts there in the next 4 years to get them caught up to where they should be in a line with the rest of the Victorian agreements.
And Bhagwan do quite a lot of different type of work too, don't they, Jase? Maybe just let the members know what Bhagwan are up to.
Yeah, they do. They do quite a lot of ad hoc work as well. They have two vessels down there at Port Welsh Pool. So currently, you know, they're doing some crew changes for the DOF vessels down there. As one of the DOF vessels is broken down. But here in Victoria, they obviously got the ports and maintenance contract with the Port of Melbourne. And also the Vic ports with Station Pier at this stage. So they do a lot of wharf carpentry work as well. We have divers, and also we service all the ATONs in the bay as well for the shipping industry. So they are quite a diverse group and quite unique in that way.
Yeah, no, great work there, mate. And Dean, you reported in the show last fortnight that you were negotiating an agreement that went into administration, ACFS.
Yeah, pretty unique circumstances there, mate. You know, come across it every day of the week, that's for sure. It's been pretty challenging, not only for the branches who are dealing with the enterprise agreement, but for our members and workers in general with ACFS. You know, we've got quite a large number of comrades from the TWU as well that work for ACFS in a way, in, you know, truck drivers. We met with the administrator on Monday. Brett and I and both committees from SA in Victoria.
Brett Larkin,
secretary from South Australia. And some good news did come out of it, mate. We've been able to reach an in-principle agreement subject to drafting on finalising their enterprise agreement. We had, you know, two bouts of industrial action scheduled for today and tomorrow, which were, you know, some bans on the unloading and loading of trains in their depot here in Melbourne, and we had a four-hour stoppage booked in for Friday. So it was a sign of good faith, and we were able to get through the bargaining on Monday. We've agreed to lift that, yeah, as a sign of good faith, and just to try and move in a positive way forward to get this agreement done. Still a lot of drafting to go, though, mate. It's going to be quite a new document in that sense. There's a lot of drafting to do. Nothing major in the way of financial, you know, impacts on the business, but just trying to strengthen clauses around, you know, union training. There's a whole heap of things that go in there. So it's not over yet. We've still got a way to go. And we're still reserving our rights to take industrial action if needed. We'll get a bit of an indication on the way that's going to go probably by tomorrow afternoon. We're still waiting on the company to respond to the draft clauses that we've provided. So we'll see what happens there. But
and the administrator actually sat in on the EA meeting.
Yeah, very, very strange, mate. yeah, very different. We did have the one representative there from ACFS who we've dealt with from the beginning, but it's very different, mate. I think, you know, in the scheme of things, the negotiations are they're done.
Yep.
Right, we've come a long way. We were nearly at the end of it when the administrator took over. So from the union's perspective, it's they need to come back to us with a response on these draft clauses. And if we don't get the response that we believe is deserved, well, we'll have to recollect our thoughts, mate, and look at the potentials for industrial action again at some point next week. But
great job, mate. And you're off to Sydney today to commence or continue the CSL negotiations for the Goliath?
Yeah, mate, that's an interesting one. You know, I've reported back on a couple of previous shows that the focus down there is to get the wages up. You know, it's probably one of the lowest paid jobs on the coast, and that's had a bit of a detrimental impact, you know, not only on the members that work there, mate, but trying to get relievers and people that actually want to go and work on that vessel. So, which is a big issue. So we continue on talks there. They're going pretty slow, to be honest with you. But the company has come with an offer, which we'll have a look at today, and we'll assess what that is and go back to the membership to seek some advice on what that looks like and where we go moving forward. But yeah, I'll meet with the Dallos today and meet with the company tomorrow, and hopefully we can make a bit of headway. But we'll see what happens on Friday afternoon.
Very good. And a bit of a sad incident out at DP World yesterday, Robbie.
Yes, on Tuesday afternoon, actually, Dave, John Allen White, better known as Allen, went to work as he would any other day and hopped up in the straddle and unfortunately had a massive heart attack and died on the job, which is extremely sad for his family and his workmates, and just an awful situation, you know. 62 years of age, was talking about retiring at the end of the year, no matter what, I've had enough, that'll do me. So that's awful to think that you work all your work in life, don't get to enjoy some retirement. That was just an awful situation. And their thoughts do go out to all those comrades that he worked with and his family that in really a really trying situation. Just terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so DP World, we were down there yesterday morning, Aaron and myself, and when it happened, the afternoon shift and night shift didn't work, and then they come back the next day and there was counsellors on site between 6 and 8.
Hunterlink?
And then Hunterlink went down, flew in yesterday, and they went down as well on yesterday afternoon. So, you know, if anyone needs assistance and help in dealing with this, please seek it, because as we sort of said, as we said on the job, it's still a high-risk industry, and when you're going back to work, you want to have your head in the right space if you're a crane driver or a straddle driver or whatever you're doing, because if your head's in another space and you're, you know, bringing a crane out, a spreader out with a box on, you're not looking to see if the straddle's there or a straddle's driving under or whatever it might be, you know, you just make sure that you're looking after yourself, and if you don't think you should be there, don't be there.
Yeah.
So simple as that. So,
and on really an industrial awful. Front at DP World, we're still going through the automation process.
We are, and so they've now announced go live dates. Well, there's a Brisbane one announced for February, and then there's two more, Sydney and Freo announced. Melbourne hasn't got a go live date. There's some technicality there, and which I'm unaware of, but there's a technicality around how they can implement the IGVs, I think it is. So that we're away, but there's the 28-hour week is on the table. The 28-hour week is being negotiated. It's agreed to as long as we can get the rosters and coverage right. But the hard part is getting rosters to cover it, and that'll be VSEs going up to FSE.
That's permanent part times going to full time.
Yeah, doing away with the VSE category if we can, but there's a long way to go. Even though we're at a position where we've sort of got an idea where we're going, there's a whole range of things that have got to come in behind it. So if Brisbane go live on in February, do they go to the 28-hour week from then, and then what's the rest of the country do?
Yeah.
Or do we all go at the same time? So there's, and then if the FSC rate goes up to here because of the 28-hour week, where does the VSE rate sit? So there's a lot of things to work through before we finally get to a position. No loss of jobs, no loss of pay, and which it is for the same pay. And then we're looking at potentially what the increases for the next 4 years would look like. And we're putting together a lot of claims now as we work towards, there's a whole range of things, a whole raft of things to deal with. So, but it's moving, and the fact that they've agreed to the 28-hour week, and I find it quite historical. You know, with 1972, the 35-hour week came in. The 35-hour week came in, and now we're looking at a 28-hour week, and other unions will follow suit, I think, and that's where we need to be. Right. More time at home with the family. You know, things change from generation to generation, and that's for sure. So, so that's where that's at. So it's, and we did have a, we were down there, and Danny Graham came up and chatted to me, and you know, he said, "Oh, gee, not only that, Dolly Parton died." I said, "Well, she was a good human being, and because you know she built that, she came from nowhere and quite a poor area, and so she built this Dolly World to give everyone in the town a job." That sort of thing. So I suppose it's a segue from into that, into, you cop some stick for this, Danny, but Danny Graham's request was 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. So members, thanks for listening to the show. A bit of a sad note to go out on, but look after each other, and we hope you all have a great day and have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Thanks,
Danny. Thanks, comrades.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. On the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.